and there, here and there, but living by every word of God, respecting every word of God, and leave it where it is and how it is. And be sure, beloved brothers, that we do have a very, very great responsibility at this time. We, as ministering brethren, have the greatest responsibility that has ever been on the face of the earth. This is the most important time in the history of mankind, the most important time in the history of the New Testament Church. Never, never before was the whole counsel of God revealed as in our time. I've seen, you've got there the picture of seven men who lived in the past, like Luther and all these others. But in their day, the things were not revealed as they are now revealed to us by the prophetic ministry God has granted unto us. And we shall share with you also the testimony of what I have seen, what I experienced, because by the grace of God, I have been an eyewitness, an ear witness of the things God has done in our time. And as John the Apostle was writing, what our eyes have seen and our ears have heard from the word of life, that we share with you. I'm in the kingdom of God for the past 60 years. 60 years. When many of you were not yet born in the flesh, I was born again, and in 1949, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I began to share the Word of God. So I look back to 60 years in the kingdom of God, to 60 years sharing the Word of God, and to over 50 years in the ministry, and the last 47 years, I traveled to the countries of the earth. Now, I look back since my calling on April the 2nd, 1962, which makes 47 years, I've been to exactly 147 countries during all these years sharing the precious Word of God. God gave to me a very rare privilege, I would say, when I met Brother Branham for the first time in 1955. I knew from the first service that this is a man sent from God. In the first service, I saw the apostolic and prophetic ministry. In the first service, I saw the blind receive their sight. I saw the cripples healed. I saw the book of Acts replete before me in the first service in August 1955. And of course, through the whole week of services, I listened and I received the Word of God, and I saw the confirmation. It happened on the platform, not a promise to pray and you go in peace, but every miracle happened at the spot, happened right there and then. Everything Brother Branham pronounced, like the girl, 11 years of age, born blind, parents coming from Switzerland, and Brother Branham told him, "You're not from this country, you come from Zurich, Switzerland," telling all the details, and all of a sudden he said, "Receive your sight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And the girl could say the very moment. This was the direct confirmation of the ministry, of the word, also of the commission that Brother Branham received. And right from 1955, when I heard Brother Branham during this week of meetings, I had one desire: to know what he believes about the Godhead, how he baptizes. I wanted to know what this man believes, because I saw that God is with him. And then in June 1958, at the Dallas, Texas convention in the USA, when all the great evangelists were together, Brother Branham was the main speaker in the evening services. During daytime, many of the others were preaching in the morning services and also in the afternoon services. But in the evening services, Brother Branham was the main speaker. And there, I had the best opportunity to see all these other ministries and compare Brother Branham's ministry with all the other ministries. After a few days, during that convention, I went to Brother Branham and I spoke to him. And I said, "Brother Branham, I see the difference between your ministry and all the other ministries of the various brothers who were also preaching." So we had a conversation. And at the end of that conversation, when I again asked Brother Branham, "Please tell me what the difference is. I see it, but I wish to understand what is the difference between your ministry and all these other ministries." And his reply was very brief: "I have a message that I must bring." At the end of that conversation, Brother Branham said, "Brother Frank, you will return to Germany with this message." That was on June 11th, 1958, in Dallas, Texas, USA, at the Voice of Healing convention. So from 1958, I received every sermon Brother Branham preached. So I grew up under his ministry through all these years, right through the preaching about the seven church ages, even before the opening of the seven seals, I was together with Brother Branham, and he told me that I should preach for him, for Demas Shakarian, at the International Full Gospel Association in Los Angeles, because Brother Branham was to move in January 1963 from Jeffersonville to Tucson. And if you brothers remember, Brother Branham saw a vision. In the vision, he saw that the road, Ewing Lane, the street he was living on, residing on, when the scrapers would move up and down that lane and the street would be widened, that would be the time when he should move from Jeffersonville to Tucson. And I, Brother Frank, in December 1962, saw the fence on the lawn of Brother Branham's property. I saw the machinery moving up and down the road. And that's when Brother Branham told me that according to the vision God showed him, he must move to Tucson, and he asked me to preach for him in the meeting in Los Angeles for Demas Shakarian. So I'm just mentioning these things that you would know. I didn't jump from heaven into something, but I had part in what God was doing during Brother Branham's ministry. I think I even was the only one who took courage and went to Washington when I heard Brother Branham making the statement that this photo hangs in Washington, D.C. You know what I did? I made a trip to the USA. I made a trip to Washington, D.C. And I searched on that December the 18th up till about 11 in the morning to find the place where this picture is. About 11:15, I was in the Hall of Art in Washington. I had this picture, which hangs in Washington, D.C. I held it with these hands. But the gentleman, an elderly gentleman, he said, "Sir, there is no description about this picture, and soon it will land in the drawer." So he pulled the drawer before my eyes, and he put the picture into the drawer like this, and he said, "Because there is no explanation with this picture, one day it will land in the drawer." So I just mentioned these things that you would know my responsibility before God. I don't come to start local churches. And this is part of the commission the Lord gave to me on April the 2nd with a tremendous, all-penetrating, audible voice when he said, "My servant, your time for this city will soon be over. I will send you to other cities to preach my word." The last two things the Lord, in the German language, with a tremendous absolute, said, "My servant, don't establish local churches." And the final thing was, "Do not publish a songbook, for it is a sign of a denomination. So I come and go. I come to a city, I come to a country, I come and go. I'm there a day or two, one or two meetings, and I go. But you brethren, are here, and God is using you for the local churches, for the local ministries, because according to the word of God, the Lord placed different ministries, the fivefold ministry into the body of Christ. And we all must find our place. Don't take somebody else's place. Find your place according to your calling in the kingdom of God. This is very, very essential. Now, for you to also understand, I cannot tolerate a doctrine that is not found in the scripture. And I will not apologize. I will never, never, never believe anything about seven thunders, about anything. Never, never, never. Never. Why? Why? Because it's all imagination. It's all illusion. It's nothing but misleading the people. I have to be strict. I have to be straight. I must be like this. Now, for instance, if we touch on these things, beloved brothers, I want you to understand, we're not only in the end time. I'm convinced that the return of Christ is so near, that we cannot afford to have our own ways. We cannot afford to have our own teachings, our own revelation, our own group, our own direction. These times are over. This is God's time for God's servants, and this is God's time for God's people. Now, for instance, if you read in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So no lie, no error, no interpretation has place in the church of the living God. And if you go to Mark chapter 7, verse 7, our Lord made the statement that all our worship is in vain if we teach for doctrines the commandments of men. We must not just look at others. We must look into the mirror of God's word and see if we have got teachings which are not according to the word of God. Not only is the Catholic Church, Baptist Church, or others, we must check ourselves if we have got teachings which are not in the word of God. Here it says in Mark chapter 7, verse 7, however, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. All worship is in vain if it's not done in spirit and in truth. The whole worship, Catholic Church, Protestant Church, in all the Trinitarian churches everywhere. All is in vain. It doesn't reach the throne of God because it's not in spirit and in truth. In John chapter 4, 23, 24, our Lord said, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth, and the word of God is the word of truth. So we must be in the truth of the word of God, led by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, as I said, I will never accept a teaching that is not found in the word of God. And I'm going to be straight with you, beloved. Now I shall read from Isaiah chapter 8, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. If they do not speak according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. So all things must be according to the word of God. If somebody comes to you, says he has a revelation about seven thunders, one says there will be seven great men touring the earth, he's not right in his head. Where does the scripture say that? Where does the scripture say that there will be seven men? Where? Nowhere. It's illusion. It's man-made. Wrong spirits have entered into the message. And therefore, we have to say this. Another man will come up and say, the seven thunders are the seven virtues. Where does the Bible say that? Where? Nowhere. The seven virtues are the nature of Christ in you. The nature of Christ in you. The divine nature with every true child of God. So, when I was in Johannesburg, South Africa, they told me there are 27 different teachings about the seven thunders. And I just had to say, and everyone is wrong. And everyone is wrong. Absolutely. Every teaching about seven thunders is totally wrong, is man-made, evil spirits have entered, and that's it. And now I read to you from Romans chapter 16, Romans chapter 16, it says here in verse 17, Romans 16, verse 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Now, this is an admonition. Take heed, because there are some who cause divisions. Beloved brothers, I'm not judging, but as I shared with you, all my life is for one purpose, to serve the Lord. To serve the Lord. And because of the divine commission, I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to share the true word of God with you. And as you also understand, it has to be in the scriptures. Nothing can be added to the word of God. Brother Branham made a statement asking, what is a mystery? And then he answered, A mystery is a hidden truth that will and is revealed. So we understand through the ministry of Brother Branham, all the mysteries from Genesis to Revelation were revealed. Plural. Mysteries. Mysteries. But Revelation 10, verse 7, does not speak about mysteries. Speaks of mystery, singular. And not only mystery, but the mystery of God. You read it? You read it? How many respect the word of God? Let me see your hands. You all respect the word of God? Let's hope so. Revelation chapter 10, and this is where people misunderstand Brother Branham's ministry, because they don't even realize what the scripture says and how Brother Branham applied this text to his ministry. Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound the mystery of God, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophets. What and who is the mystery of God? Jesus Christ is the mystery of God revealed. 1 Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, God manifested in the flesh. Though the Jews at that time did not realize the direct manifestation of the Lord of glory, they did not realize that Emmanuel is with them. And then when their time comes, then their eyes will be opened and they will look upon him whom they have pierced. And I'm just writing a circular letter referring to these things, beloved brothers, and I want you to also understand this. When you read the Revelation chapters, you have to go precisely in the chronological order. You must go step by step. For instance, let us read Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, everybody knows. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. But right after this, you read in verse 2, and I saw the seven angels who stood before God. To them were given seven trumpets. And then it is precisely said what will take place with the first trumpet in verse 7. What will take place during the second trumpet, verse 8 and 9. What will take place with the third trumpet in verse 10 and 11. What will take place with the fourth trumpet from verse 13 or 12 and 13. And then in chapter 9, from verse 1 to 12, you have the fifth trumpet, and precisely this is the description. What will take place when these things will be? You don't need to explain. It's all here. It's all here. It's all in the book. You just need to read. And then in chapter 9, from verse 13, we have the sixth trumpet, and see precisely what will take place when the sixth trumpet angel will blow. What will be at that time. So six have already blown their trumpets. And then in chapter 10 comes the announcement, when the seventh trumpet angel will blow, then the mystery of God will be finished. You have to stay with the Word of God. Don't go by imagination. Don't leave the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God forever and ever and ever. And then divine revelation and understanding will come your way. And then you will understand also from chapter 10, when the Lord will come down as the angel of the covenant. As the angel of the covenant with a rainbow over his head. Now you go back to Genesis. In the days of Noah, God made a covenant and the rainbow appeared. The rainbow appeared in the sky. It was a sign of the covenant. Then if you go through the Old Testament scriptures, even the Lord sitting on the throne, right to Revelation chapter 4 and 5, the covenant is seen and presented by the rainbow. Here in Revelation chapter 4, where John saw the Lord on the throne, we read verse 3, Revelation chapter 4, verse 3, and he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardius stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like an emerald. Rainbow, sign of the covenant. In Revelation 10, the Lord comes down with a rainbow around him, showing the covenant, the Old Testament covenant, New Testament covenant, showing the covenant. And only when he comes down at this time, putting one foot on land and one on sea, as the original owner, the seven thunders will utter their voices. Not earlier, not today, not yesterday. Only when he puts one foot here, as the scripture says, then seven thunders will utter their voices. The seven thunders don't utter in New York or anywhere. It's illusion. It's man-made. It's wrong. You have to stay with the eternal word of Almighty God. And then, at that time, he swears by him that lives forever and ever. Here it says, and only after he swears, seven thunders uttered their voices. Revelation 10, verse 3 and 4. And with this scripture, you must go to Daniel chapter 12 to know precisely how long it will be from the moment this angel of the covenant will swear right to the very end. And it says here in Daniel chapter 12, Daniel chapter 12, and here we shall read the last few verses, Daniel chapter 12, verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. Exactly 3.5 years from the moment the angel of the covenant swears to the very end of time before the millennial reign will start. So everything is in this book. But you must go from scripture to scripture. You cannot just read one scripture and let your fantasy have your way. You must go from scripture to scripture. And then you see the word of God. You see the word of God putting in the right place. And then you come to the right understanding of what the scripture actually says. Then if you go to the fact of swearing, then you have to go also again to the Old Testament to see the connection when this is going to be. But I don't know if you do have these problems in this country. But because the return of Christ has drawn so near, and we must prepare for the second coming. We must be ready for the second coming. And therefore, these things must be placed correctly according to the plan of salvation. Saying this once again, when Brother Branham 71 times referred to Revelation 10, he spoke about mysteries, because he was the last church age messenger. So his ministry, all the mysteries from Genesis to Revelation were revealed. But this does not do away with the singular, with the mystery of God. Everything in the right place. So we must place Brother Branham's ministry according to the word of God and come to the right understanding. Why was this said? Why was this done? We must have the leading of the Holy Spirit to know precisely where the things must be placed according to the plan of salvation. And beloved, I have to say this, many years passed. The time after Brother Branham, like from 1965, and I think I was the last one to see Brother Branham in the coffin. In April 1966, because I came from Germany, I went to the Kutz funeral home. I went up the wooden stairs with the owner. He opened the coffin. I saw William Branham. These eyes saw William Branham in the coffin in April 1966. I was there at the funeral. I told you before, I'm not somebody who jumped into something 50 years later. I was part of what God was doing during that time. But everybody was expecting the resurrection of William Branham. Because it was Easter time, everybody thought, now Easter time, and now the prophet will rise. When I came to the cemetery, the gentleman who led the singing, he said, you know why we are here? Because of the resurrection. Yes, but the resurrection did not take place. And the coffin was let down in the ground. And brothers, I tell you, I never wept in my life as much as I wept on that one day. I could not understand why the Lord would take Brother Branham. I could not understand. In fact, I was weeping, I was praying. And I said, dear Lord, please tell me, how can the bride be prepared without this ministry? Because no one else had a ministry like this. So I was torn. I was torn. I said, Lord, why has this happened? What will you do now? And brothers, on the evening of the same day, April the 11th, 1966, when I returned from the burial to my hotel room, a peace of God just came over me. I could not weep anymore. There was a joy that flooded my soul. And there the Lord gave the answer. Now your time has come to take the message to the ends of the earth. So from that time, God has used me to take the message of the hour to the nations of the earth. And a number of years passed without any brother presenting wrong teachings. But then the time came when brothers had special revelations. And now we look into the message ranks, and this group follows this man, this follows this man, this man, this man, and the body of Christ is divided. And this must be stopped. Beloved brothers, this must be stopped. If you are born of God, if the true word of God is in you, if the seed of God is in you, if you're a true child of God, son of God, ordained to the ministry, please make sure that you just believe as and what the scripture says. Give Brother Branham the place God gave unto him. He was the promised prophet. William Branham was not only a prophet, he was a promised prophet. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. We are still in the day of salvation. The day of the Lord is still before us. Why? Because when the day of the Lord comes, sun will turn into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord comes. Joel chapter 2, Acts chapter 2. You go even to Revelation, the 6th chapter, when the sun will turn into darkness and the moon into blood. It's all in this book. It's all in this book. Here it says in Revelation chapter 6, right at the opening of the sixth seal. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. Now, if you go to Matthew chapter 24, it shows you precisely that this will only happen after the great tribulation. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. It says here in verse 29. Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall give its light no more, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and so forth. So you have to go to the word of God. What does the scripture say about the day of the Lord? What is the connection? Don't explain. Let the word of God tell you what is going to happen, and then you are sure. So we understand William Branham was the promised prophet. I send you Elijah the prophet. What did Elijah do? He took the 12 stones according to the 12 tribes. He rebuilt the altar. And then he put the sacrifice on the altar. And then he put the water upon the sacrifice. And then he looked to heaven and said, Lord God, let it be known today that thou art the only true God in Israel, and I'm your servant. What did Brother Branham do? He had to establish the doctrines of the 12 apostles, put everything back into its original place. That's why you see the difference. When the ministry of John the Baptist is spoken of, it's always prepare, prepare, prepare. Isaiah 40 verse 3, prepare. Malachi 3:1, prepare. Luke, Matthew, everywhere, prepare, prepare. But when the last ministry is spoken of, the word restore, restore. The word restore, you want me to read it to you? It's also found in Matthew 17. Not only in Malachi chapter 4, it's also in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, verse 10 and 11. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Just like the children of Israel, when they returned from the Babylonian captivity, the temple had to be rebuilt on the same old foundation. You read Ezra, you read Nehemiah, and you see what God has done in the Old Testament, showing unto us what is happening now and must be done right now. So William Branham was used of God Almighty to show us the original foundation of which the Apostle Paul was writing to the Corinthians. I laid the foundation. No one else can lay another foundation except the one that is laid already. And then you go to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So back to the original teachings, back to the word of God, back to everything as it was in the beginning. And brothers, the last sermon must be as the first was. The last baptism must be as the first was. The last Lord's Supper must be as the first was. All things must be restored before Christ returns. And then you also go to Mark chapter 9, where our Lord again used the word restore about the Elijah ministry of our time. Mark chapter 9, verse 12. And he answered and said unto them, Elijah verily cometh first and restoreth all things. William Branham had a restored apostolic prophetic ministry, and he shared the word of God with us so that all the other ministries can be restored, that the church of the New Testament, the church of Jesus Christ, can be at the end how and where she has been right at the very beginning. So we understand also, according to Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, we are told about the Lord remaining in heaven until the times of restitution of all things come. Acts chapter 3, from verse 17, you can read on to 19 and 20. It says here in verse 19, repent therefore and be ye converted, that your sins might be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And listen to verse 20 and 21. And he shall send Jesus Christ, who before was preached unto you, whom the heaven whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has promised or spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the time began. So we understand from the Holy Scriptures that since the time of Reformation, in every revival God gave closer to the Word of God. Over 100 years ago, new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Pentecostal movements came up. Trinitarian oneness and many movements came up. But after World War II, and this you should understand, beloved brothers, right after World War II, on May the 7th, 1946, the angel of the Lord came into the room where William Branham was seated. He had his Bible on the lap like this. William Branham had his Bible just on the lap like this. And suddenly the supernatural light entered the room. And the angel stepped down in that light. And Brother Branham even knocks on the pulpit and said, I could hear his steps. I could hear his steps. And he stood. And Brother Branham, of course, also stood. And the angel said, fear not. I'm sent from the presence of Almighty God to give you your commission. And giving all the details of the commission to William Branham, the promised prophet for our day and time. So, to know these things, I have a responsibility. And I tell you also, the things which are negative. If somebody makes William Branham son of man, I said, stop it. Stop it. Jesus Christ is the son of man, not William Branham. Not William Branham. Jesus Christ is the son of man. But the same ministry that Jesus Christ, the son of man, had when he walked on the face of the earth, the same ministry repeated in our time. And I've seen it. And I've seen it. Just as our Lord in John chapter 1, he said, before Philip called you, I've seen you under the tree. He could say to Peter, thy name is Simon, and thy father's name is Jonas. He could tell the woman at the well, five husbands you had, the one you've got now is not your husband. He could tell to the disciples, go into the village, there's a man carrying the water, tell him in your house the master will have the Passover. He could tell other disciples, go get the foal and the ass. And they brought. He had this prophetic ministry. Because God had said through Moses, a prophet like unto me, the Lord God will raise from among your brethren. So our Lord has four son titles. In Matthew chapter 1 verse 1. He is son of David and son of Abraham. But he's got four son titles. Son of Abraham, son of David, son of man, son of God. As son of God, he is Savior. As son of man, he is prophet. As son of David, he is king. As son of Abraham, he is the heir of all things, and we are co-heirs with him. So we must go back with every term, with every word of God, to the word of God, to have the precise answer from the word of God. And then even to the fact when our Lord said, from now on, you will see the Son of Man at the right hand of God. He never said, you will see the Son of God. You will see the Son of Man. Son of Man. Even there, beloved brothers, you have to watch. Where does the Bible say Son of Man? Where does it say Son of God? Where does it say? What does it say? You must pay precise attention. The word of God is in a divine order. It's in a divine order. And you must know precisely the word of God by divine revelation to put all things into the right place. So, coming back again to the ministry of Brother Branham, because I'm an eyewitness, I'm an ear witness. When Brother Branham came to Germany, of course, he didn't speak a word of the German language. But for every person he prayed in the presence of thousands upon thousands of people, God showed him a vision. And he could tell every person he prayed for where they came from, their names, the city, the circumstances, and whatever God showed him in a vision. Because the same ministry that then happened to the Jews and Samaritans, Brother Branham said, the same ministry has now been in the church of the living God, in the Gentile church, as a last sign that the coming of the Lord is very near. But when it comes to make William Branham Jesus Christ, that's Antichrist. That's a totally wrong spirit, a devilish spirit. A devilish spirit. William Branham is William Branham. Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory. And brothers, I had a few experiences. Even if I think about it, the best friend of William Branham, who paid $40,000 for the tax case of William Branham, knelt down on his knee on April the 12th, 1966, the day after the funeral, raising his right hand, trying to persuade me to believe that William Branham is Jesus Christ. And you can imagine the fight. I just had to throw him out from the room. The best friend of William Branham. No one is being mentioned as many times as this gentleman from the lips of William Branham. And then this man is before me, lifting his hand, trying to make me believe that William Branham is Jesus Christ. Beloved brothers, don't let any wrong spirit ever come upon you. Reject every wrong spirit, every wrong doctrine. And every wrong doctrine is connected with a wrong spirit. And you have to understand this. Never, never allow any wrong spirit to influence you. John the Baptist was John the Baptist. Moses was Moses. William Branham, his daddy's name was Charles. His mother's name was Ella. And he is of Irish descent. He said it many times. But Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory. The Lord of glory. The I am. You understand? Beloved brothers, you understand this? I don't hear any amen. I don't hear any amen. But you understand what I'm trying to say. Then, if some people believe the Lord has already come, that is the greatest lie. That is the greatest lie. And I tell you why. Because the Holy Scripture says, at that moment, two will be on one bed, one will be taken, one will be left. Two will be on the same field, one will be taken, one will be left. So, is anybody already taken? Is anybody left? No. It's illusion. It's wrong spirits. Wrong spirits dominating the heads of the people. So I say this again. We have to be careful not to fall into any interpretation, but believe the word of God. And by the way, I just think about it right now, because Brother Branham one time made a statement about the shout being the message. Let me read to you something most wonderful. From Psalms 47, Psalms 47, verse 5. Psalms 47, verse 5. God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. In the same way, The word of prophecy foretold that he will be going up in the same way he will come down with a shout and with a trumpet. You go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 13 and you have the scripture confirmed. He went up with a shout. He went up with the sound of a trumpet. And he will return. He will return with the same shout, with the same trumpet. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and we shall be changed. One brother who is about 10 years older than I, he said, "Brother Frank, we're already raptured." Yes. But I said, "Beloved brother, you're still here." And he said, "Well, that's a revelation." I said, "Just a moment, please. What revelation?" You know, I don't get it. And I'm serious with it. Please, don't be deceived. Go by the word of God. And only as the scripture says, that is the way the things will take place. And when the scripture says, the Lord himself will come down. Not a message. I read it to you. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. It says the Lord himself will come down with the shout. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend. Now how can somebody say this has already happened? So the message. The message is the call, the calling out to the living at this time. Now the last message goes to the living at this time. Like 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 14. What is light to do with darkness? Belial with Christ. Come out, ye my people, from among them, and be separate, says the Lord. And then I will receive you, and you will be my sons and my daughters. This is calling out time. This is preparation time. This is separation time. This is restoring time to bring us back to the very beginning before the return of Christ can take place. Let's read it again. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. We read from Psalms 47. He went up with a shout. He went up with the sound of a trumpet. Now the Lord himself will come down with, as we read here, he will come down with a shout. He will come down with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. In the same way, after the victory, after he purchased our salvation on the cross of Calvary, went down to hell, conquered Satan, death and hell, and rose on the third day. And then he was with his disciples for 40 days. And after the 40 days, he was taken from them to glory. That is Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And here it says in verse, Luke chapter 24, verse 50. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. So, if you go now to Acts chapter 1, verse 9 to 11, it says the same Jesus that was taken from you into heaven will come in the same way as you have seen him going up into heaven. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Second part of verse 11, the same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him going up into heaven. So this is the Holy Scriptures. Who dares to explain? Who on earth has a right? Who has the right to explain this word of God? Every word of God will be as it says. First coming of Christ was the fulfillment of all the prophecies from the Old Testament. At the second coming of Christ, everything will be fulfilled as it is written in the Holy Scriptures. No interpretation, nothing. Just as the Scripture says, that is the way it's going to take place. Why do I mention these things? I mention these things because of a burden. I do have a burden for the body of Christ. I do have a burden for the bride of Christ. I do have a responsibility because of the direct call. I heard with these ears, and Brother Branham confirmed and repeated word for word in the English language as the Lord had spoken to me in the German language. So my beloved friends, because of this responsibility, I must go from country to country, from city to city, to share the word of God. What really hurts me are the many different teachings, explanations, interpretations, dividing those who were called out. And everybody says he believes the message of the hour, and everybody believes what they like, preach what they like, do what they like. And I said it before, beloved, this is a very serious time. And never before have we seen the Holy Scriptures, the prophetic Scriptures. I don't need to go into detail, but beloved, since December the 1st this year, we have the old Roman Empire, the fourth kingdom promised in Daniel chapter 2 and in Daniel chapter 7, existing from December the 1st this year, 2009. We have the United States of Europe, the last kingdom promised and prophesied in the prophet Daniel. I show it to you from the prophet Daniel, chapter 2. And here, I just read one verse. Daniel chapter 2, verse 40. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdues all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And if you read Daniel chapter 7, it's even more in detail. Verse 19, then I would know the truth of the fourth kingdom, fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured, broke in pieces, and stamped the residue under his feet. And especially verse 23. And he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And in verse 25 we read, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and so forth, already speaking about the Antichrist. brothers, I could show you from the Holy Scriptures how these prophecies are now being fulfilled. The last kingdom, the old Roman Empire coming up, and the Roman Church, according to Revelation chapter 17, the whore is riding the beast. The beast is a natural power, and the religious power is a whore riding, having the reins in her hands. If you go to the Roman Treaty of March 1957, if you go to all these treaties, everything was signed in the Vatican, And now the 350 Protestant denominations return to the Catholic Church. And the Pope has declared officially that the Roman Church is the only church of Jesus Christ, the only church whereby ye can receive salvation. And the Pope made the statement, I got it black and white from the internet. The Pope made the statement, all the other churches are not churches. There's only one church, and that's the Roman Church. And all the other churches must come back to the Mother Church. And brothers, all this is happening right now. And we see the end. You can feel the end. It's so near. It is so near. And where is the bride? The Holy Scripture says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, and his bride has made herself ready. The Antichrist has his way. Everything has its way. What about the church of Jesus Christ? Divided into many groups, following different men. This is God's time to follow Jesus Christ, to check everything by the word of God. And the next thing, now the negotiations about Jerusalem. I've been to Jerusalem 24 times. I know Israel. I know Jerusalem. And now the Vatican. Once on Mount Zion, the building, the best building on Mount Zion, the Vatican wants to have that building as international territory, to have his feet in Jerusalem, directly on Mount Zion. And then you go to the treaty, you go to the word of God to know what is going to take place right now. Beloved brothers, I cannot go into these things, but I'm telling you, we're not only in the end time, we're at the end of the end time. And I don't know if we've got weeks, months, or years. Nobody knows this, but I have to say, we must take things seriously. Why did our Lord 3 times say, when you see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads, for you know your redemption is drawing near? Why did he say, when you see all these things, you know it's near, even at the door? We are the most blessed generation. We live now to see all Bible prophecies coming to pass. Nobody needs to explain. No, they become a reality. You don't need to explain. You just need to watch as all these things are coming into being and also into reality. So coming to the final point, which is to me the most important, please, never accept a teaching that you cannot preach from the Word of God. Never. Only what you can preach from the Word of God, you should preach. All the other things you leave with God. Whether you understand or not, like even a few statements of our Lord, who can explain when he said, there are many standing here who will not see death unless they have seen the Son of Man coming in power and glory. And 2,000 years have come and gone, and the Son of Man has not yet come in power and glory. There are statements in the Word of God, which I and you may understand, because John on the Isle of Patmos, he saw Christ, a Son of Man, walking in his glory amidst the 7 golden candlesticks. But if somebody only goes by head knowledge, They will say, oh, he made the statement that they will not die unless they've seen the Son of Man coming in glory. You need spiritual understanding. And also for the things Brother Branham said, you need spiritual understanding. And spiritual understanding only comes through the Word and Spirit of God. Amen. You will never have spiritual understanding by comparing quote and quote and quote. No, you must go back to the Word of God to have the right understanding that comes by divine revelation, by the Holy Spirit. So I say again, beloved, the Bride of Christ is part of the Word of God, part of the Bridegroom, and therefore no strange teaching can be in the Bride of Christ. Just the pure and true Word of God. And I believe that this is the time when God is going to use you in this country, use you in this country, to share the true Word of God with the elect, with the chosen. Just remain humble in the presence of God and trust the Lord. Recognize one another's ministry and be grateful for the possibility that you have to share the Word of God with you. As I said in the beginning, I cannot be in one place for a long time, but you are here. God has placed you here for different ministries in local churches, in the country. God is using you. And please make sure that you stay under the blood. This is very important. Beloved, this is very important. We not only have a message, we have the life. We have the life. The life of Christ. The life of Christ. And here is the mystery. Many speak about message. They don't know what conversion is. They don't know what the born again experience is. They don't know what renewing of the Spirit is. And they speak about message. Beloved, here is the mystery. The life is in the blood. Genesis, you go back to Genesis with the original sin, because the original sin happened in the body of flesh and blood. That is why the Savior had to come into a body of flesh and blood, to shed his blood in this natural body. Why? Because life is in the blood. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11 and verse 14. The life is in the blood. That's why Christ had to shed his blood, that his life would come back on the redeemed. If you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that life that was in Christ is now in you. And we're sons of God, born again by the Holy Spirit, having that eternal life. There's only one eternal life, and that's God. And God was manifested in Christ. And therefore, it is so important to have also a balance in the teaching and in the preaching, that you don't concentrate on one thing, but always preach the whole counsel of God, the whole Word of God, the whole message of salvation. And especially when it comes to the Godhead, please don't explain when Christ became God, or forget all these thoughts. He was and is the great I Am, the same who walked in the Garden of Eden, the same who talked to Abraham. But in the Old Testament, he was in the form of an angel, like coming to Abraham. But at the same time, he was in the form of a man. If you read Genesis 18, three men came to Abraham. One was the Lord, and the other two were angels. And according to Genesis 19, the two angels went to Sodom, and the Lord remained with Abraham. And in verse 17 said, how can I keep from Abraham what I'm going to do? Because Abraham was a prophet. But in the Old Testament, he already could take a body in which he could eat. They were sitting down. Abraham washed their feet. They were sitting down, having a meal with Abraham. Yes, it is possible. Like now, our brothers and sisters who are in paradise, they don't eat. They don't drink. They just exist in glory. But after the resurrection, we shall be at the marriage supper. We shall eat and drink. Yeah, we shall be what we are meant to be by the grace of God. So please never explain the Godhead. Just believe with all your heart that God manifested himself for our salvation as our Father in heaven, in his only begotten Son on earth, in us by the Holy Spirit. Three different manifestations of the same God to accomplish his own plan of salvation. Therefore, you never read the term God the Son. Not a single time. The term God the Son exists not a single time in the Bible. The term God the Holy Spirit does not exist a single time in the Bible. Only the Son of God or the Holy Spirit. So even there, you have to pay attention to what the Scripture says and what the Scripture does not say. We have to come out even from all the Jesus-only teachings, from all the Trinity teachings. We have to come out from all the inherited teachings and come back to the real Bible teachings by divine revelation. And then the Holy Spirit will be with us and upon us and lead us into all the truth. For instance, the Bible never says eternal Son, only everlasting Father. Yes? So all these teachings which came up in the 3rd and 4th century, they're all wrong. They're all wrong. For instance, they made the picture, they brought forth a Trinity. You can imagine, this is the first what they decided in Nicaea. They decided in Nicaea that God exists, that God exists as three persons. But if you go to the first commandment, Exodus chapter 20, I'm the Lord your God, thou shalt have no other gods besides me. So if somebody says this will be the Father, then he's got one God besides him here, one God besides him here. Who is that? There's no such a God. God is one. God is one. God is one. But he can reveal himself. He can manifest himself in different ways. And therefore, as I said, he manifested himself as our Father in heaven. Nobody prays our Son who art in heaven. Nobody prays our Holy Ghost who art in heaven. No, we pray our Father who art in heaven. Even our prayer must be according to the Word of God. I hope you understand, beloved brothers. But I have to take these things very seriously. We're dealing with eternity. And there's no second chance that we shall be given. But let's summarize what we try to say here today. God kept his promise, and he sent his prophets in our time to restore all things. And as I mentioned, we're still in the time of grace, in the day of salvation. The day of the Lord is still before us. It has not yet come, because sun has not turned into darkness, moon has not turned into blood, the stars did not fall from heaven. So according to Isaiah 49 verse 6 to 8, this is the day of salvation. This is the acceptable time. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2. So we understand at the end of the day of salvation, at the end of the time of grace, God has sent a prophet with this prophetic teaching ministry to bring us back to the original Word of God, to bring us back into the full revelation of Jesus Christ, to bring us back, to restore. But please, let me also emphasize again, respect every word of God. Never explain it. For instance, when our Lord spoke as Son of Man, He said, "The Father is greater than I." That is very true. When He spoke as Lord, He said, "The Father and I are one." You have to see as what He speaks. Our Lord, as I said before, He had to be Son of David, Son of Abraham, Son of God, Son of Man. He has to be mediator, advocate, Lamb of God. He has to be all things. You have to watch as what is He shown. What is the connection the Scripture speaks about? And then you come to the full understanding of all this different revelation. Like in Revelation chapter 5. First, John saw the Lamb. And then he saw the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Just one moment to the other. He can be all in all at the same time. And if you go to especially Nehemiah chapter 9, He can appear on the mountain and His voice comes from heaven. Yes. So don't worry. All things are in the right place. But you have to have the right and true understanding by the Holy Spirit. Also, to place Brother Branham's ministry according to the Scriptures, because he was a promised prophet. The greatest ministry of all times has happened in our time. And therefore, I'm here as an eyewitness, as an ear witness, that God has kept His word, fulfilled His promise, sent His prophet at the end of the time of grace to bring us back, to restore all things, to put things into the original position, into the original state as they were at the very beginning. So please don't add anything to the Word of God. Let everything be within these two pages, within these two covers. Everything is in this book. All we need is just the right understanding. You must be right in your heart and must receive the true revelation of the Holy Spirit. And if it's a revelation by the Holy Spirit, it will coincide with all the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. There will not be a single contradiction, even to Matthew chapter 28, when our Lord said, baptizing them into the name, singular, name. You understand? Not names, name, singular. One name. And you shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. So it's all divine revelation. You have not only the letter, you have the divine revelation of that letter. And therefore, the Apostle Peter could say in the first sermon, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, because that is the name in which God Himself was revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in the precious and holy New Testament covenant name. There's no name above this name. New Testament covenant name. The Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrew, you know, it's Yahshua, which means Yahweh Savior. Yahweh Savior. And Yahweh is the Lord, not Jehovah. That's from the 16th century. They put the word Jehovah. The original is Yahweh. Yahweh. The in Himself existing one. The great I am. In the Old Testament, he's Yahweh. In the New Testament, he's Yahshua, Yahweh, Savior. And the same word of prophet Joel chapter 2, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, is in Acts chapter 2. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They're not two Lords. It's the same Lord. But in the Old Testament and here in the New Testament. Brothers, I'm so grateful for this book. For this book. I'm grateful for the divine revelation. For the leading of the Holy Spirit. Into all the details. Into all the Word of God. And as we said before, God has used Brother Branham to reveal all the hidden mysteries from Genesis to Revelation. I would have never known what happened in the Garden of Eden if Brother Branham would not have said it. And there was very strict. He said, the same angel of the Lord who visited me on May the 7th, 1946, stood in my room and told me what happened in the Garden of Eden, saying precisely what happened around midday and what happened before the evening, precisely telling Brother Branham what happened in the Garden of Eden concerning the original sin. So brothers, we had the greatest ministry, the greatest ministry, with a revelation of all the things that were hidden through the ages. And now we are responsible to share these things in a good way. Not in a way of discussion. Not to attack. But to share the truth in love. And to show the people what happened. And to show why redemption was necessary. Why the blood had to be shed. We have to show from the Holy Scriptures. And you go back to Exodus chapter 12. Where the Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So the blood was shed. And God sees us through the blood of the Lamb. And don't see you as you were. He sees you washed. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. Redeemed. And the inside is already changed. And we're waiting. We're waiting for the trumpet to sound and for the Lord to return. And I close with this experience I had. I told you this before, but to me, from the number of experiences the Lord in His grace has given to me, in January 1981 was just something very, very wonderful. I was dying with malaria tropica. I was in Africa and I got 4 bites of the tsetse fly, which carries the malaria tropica, and it's deadly. It's just nothing that you can do about it. And when I came back from Africa for Christmas in December 1980, I didn't know what happened, but I couldn't eat anymore. I got weaker. Then I was taken to the hospital unconscious, and I knew I was going, just coming back a little, and the doctors gave me up, and I was pushed in a room where people die. One curtain to your left, one curtain to your right, and I knew I was going. The red blood was destroyed, was just eaten up. The particulars of the red blood were just eaten up. I couldn't speak no more. I could not move anymore. Once I just could open my eyes a little. And friends, just at the moment when I was about to leave this earth, I wanted to say these words, Lord, how do I stand in your presence? And the next moment, I was taken out of this body under the blue sky. And I saw the rapture, experienced the rapture. I saw the white-dressed multitude, my, oh my. And all were young, all were young, about 17, 18. No child, no old age, in the perfect youth, the perfect youth. No trace of sin or sickness or old age, just in the blossom of the youth. All in. I could look, I was in the first row like this, and we were going up majestic, not like a rocket, just going up and going up. And I looked again over the multitude, and waves of glory, just came through that other body in which I was in. And friends, I must read it to you so that you know it, that we shall be put back into the days of our youth. The scripture says so in Job chapter 33, in verse 25. Job 33, verse 25. His flesh shall be fresher than the child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. I knew what Brother Branham experienced when he was taken beyond the curtain of time, that he saw the great multitude. He said they were all young. But now in this experience, I saw in this other dimension, all were young. Just the sisters had open hair hanging down the back. And yeah, I saw it. I was there. And all of a sudden, something made me look up. And when I looked up, I saw the New Jerusalem coming down. And it was just the moment when the bride would enter that holy place of the New Jerusalem in January 1981. So, beloved brothers, I'm here as a living witness of what God has done in our time. I'm here with a direct responsibility, whether you see it or not, whether you believe it or not, but because of the divine call and commission, I have a divine responsibility for the body of Christ now worldwide to share the true word of God with all the true children of God. And may the dear Lord use you, bless you, and be with you. And may the bride of Christ be prepared in this country. And may God be with you in such a way that his love will prevail and his word will remain in you forever and ever. Don't step out of this word, because if you step out of this word, you step out of the will of God. This word contains the will of God, and only in the word of God, you're in the will of God. So, maybe one more verse and then we should close. You have questions? I don't think we've got time for questions, beloved brother. Yes. I cannot read this. You will have to. But what did I want to read now, beloved brother? What were we speaking about? A question. Okay.